It's time to let loose, talk some Michigan, and play in the playground. The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. Here are your hosts, Jay-Z and Jeff.
All right, welcome to the WTKA's Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA The Ticket. I am Josh Zinke. Right in front of me, Jeff Childs and Matt Misler. He's over there pushing the ones and twos. Yeah, we got a little early start today, a little earlier. Thanks to Appliance Doctor for allowing us a little bit of earlier time than usual. So there was a game yesterday, Jeff.
There was.
Excuse me. And no Tony O today. Also, no Tony O. He is... He just realized Michigan State is horrible, and that's his favorite team, so he's just going to take the week off.
He's commiserating, I think.
Yes. You know, knock, knock, who's there? 0-2. 0-1 a lot for Michigan State. Their basketball season going well, right? I do believe.
Yeah, they finally got a win the other night.
They're 4-3 now, sorry, or some horrible record, but all right. Let's not talk about Michigan State anymore. That should be it for the rest of the show. If you're a Michigan State fan listening, I think that was about it.
That's your cue to leave.
Yeah. So Ohio State wins 30-27 in two overtimes. Jeff, your Facebook feed, everyone's Twitter, everyone's Facebook. I'm glad that to get the election stuff over with.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, always showing up in my timeline.
Now we have this to consume us, Jay-Z.
This is all I see anymore. There's nothing else going on but this game. Now, we can look at it many different ways. Now, there are people who will call in today, later on, and they'll be upset and blame the refs. Which, in a way, was it called fairly, Jeff? Do you believe it was called down the middle, when rules were broken, flags were thrown?
Michigan lost this game, Jay-Z, for a wide variety of things. And while the officiating was bad, it wasn't the reason they lost this game. Now, do I think it was a little one-sided? Yes, it was not the reason Michigan lost the football game.
Okay, now I look at it as there was some stuff that was called against Michigan that wasn't called against Ohio State when they were doing the same exact thing.
Yep.
We'll get to the final play too. I'm sure all of you. Maybe that was the biggest heartbreaker. If last year, after a while, we're just like, all right, there's no hope. We lost this game. Then this year, it was like, so close, because if they stop him, if the refs say, all right, he was short of the first down, game over, then we're not talking about this at all. We're talking about how they allowed Ohio State to stay in the game, and then they finally pulled it out. That's the way it goes. It's you lose, then you want to blame everyone, and you want to look at all the bad things we did, not the good things. And if they stop him there and the officials make the exact call the way I believe it, I saw it, is that they stopped them, then we're talking about like, oh, we're so glad we pulled this out. Now we're going to go to the Big Ten Championship, which we're not. So what other reasons did Michigan not win the game yesterday?
Well, I think a lot of it had to hinge on the offense, Jay-Z. I mean, they were dominating Ohio State, moving the ball effectively in the first half. And they end up with only 310 yards with the two overtime periods. Ohio State gets to 330. But Wilton Spate has to be better, right? He has to be better in a game of this magnitude with everything on the line, everything, every goal in front of Michigan. And he played well. He did. I'm not going to discount that. He was very, very good for Michigan, 23 of 36, 219 yards, two touchdowns, and a very good rating. But the numbers that stand out, the two interceptions and two just crucial interceptions. One goes for a pick six deep in Ohio State territory. The other one sets up an Ohio State touchdown. Wilton Spate fumbled the ball on a goal line in an absolutely, you know, can't fumble situation.
Correct.
And he has to hold on to the ball. There's no doubt. He has to secure the ball in that situation. And that's a huge swing because not only does Michigan not score, Ohio State gets the ball, and they go the other way, and it's almost a two-score swing in a lot of ways. So while Wilton was good and the offense was pretty solid on the whole, I thought, the entire day, too many mistakes made, too many opportunities squandered for Michigan, Jay-Z, and fans can blame the refs all they want, but Michigan had this game right in front of them. They had Ohio State on the ropes. They committed mistakes, and they didn't grasp the game, right? They didn't grasp that brass ring when it was right there in front of them.
Yeah, when I saw, so going into halftime, I'm like, waiting for them to come out, and they always seem to have that letdown in the third quarter, especially when they have a lead. It's almost like, all right, and then they play tighter. I don't know if it's the plays being called in. It's like, all right, you have to grind clock to win the game, and this is not a team that can do that. It's almost like it's worse to be in front at that time. You know, at halftime, you're up. You know the third quarter's coming, and you know there's going to be some kind of fight back from Ohio State.
You're waiting for that push from the opposition. And in this game, there's more push than there is in any other game. And you kind of were waiting for Michigan to kind of let the foot off the gas and for Ohio State to go, all right, well, you know, you're not moving the ball effectively. You're not putting distance between us. We're going to give you that inevitable pushback. And if Michigan wasn't expecting it, Jay-Z, they should, because that's Ohio State. There's too much pride. They're at home in the horseshoe. There's going to be the pushback, and Michigan's got to respond. They did respond at times, but especially the third and fourth quarters with how just dismal the offense looked. They didn't respond when it mattered.
Yeah, what, over 12 minutes of possession for Michigan in third and fourth quarter. 1940 would be the time of possession for Ohio State. So let's talk about Wilton. If you just look at the numbers, it's like, all right, not the worst game, but the interceptions really did hurt. I mean, 1 for 6 points right away, and then the fumble on the one, even if you get 3 points there, it's a different game. And it's just hard to look at. Wilton did a great job because some of us out for the season, we're not going to see him at all. He came back and he did take some hits. He was taken to the ground a couple times, and every time you had to hold your breath to think, oh, is he going to get up? And after a while, you didn't. You're just like, all right, Wilton must be fine. He must be good enough to go, not just with the injury, but he was taking a lot of punishment, and he was still getting up and going with it. So your thoughts on Wilton Spate, the complete game?
Yeah, I thought it was good. He was very, very resilient, as you said, when he took hits in the pocket, when things were happening around him. He reacted well. He completed passes when he needed to. He moved the sticks on third down. But again, the mistakes, I think, will overshadow any positive things that he did in this game, and he did a lot. And I thought his receivers, more so than the Indiana game, Amara Darbo, Jake Butt, they were solid as well. They were very, very good, but Darbo had two critical drops, and you can make the argument whether the ball, the ball was in the vicinity. Jake Butt had a really, really crucial drop earlier in the game. And are some of these mistakes on Wilton? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but the receivers have to make those plays. Your seniors in that game have to make those plays. And Wilton, again, I thought he was good, but I think ultimately the mistakes will overshadow anything that he did. And I felt very good about his overall performance, about how his resiliency to come in there in that game and quarterback a very good game in the horseshoe. Ultimately, he's just unfortunately going to go down in the Michigan annals as another footnote, as another quarterback who didn't beat Ohio State.
Well, I look at it as, they were showing this during the game of all these, close victories or close defeats by either side. I think this is going to be one of those that we'll look back on. Ohio State played a tough game. The refs, they help them more than they help Michigan. I can say that and be honest.
That's a way to say it.
It's the truth. And you can't say that it's not. Just look at the penalties and look at the plays that they were called for, or Michigan was called for, that Ohio State wasn't. As far as the running game, after reading the game, and a lot of people are like, why do they keep rushing it up the middle? Why do they keep doing that, Jeff? There's no reason. They're not getting anything out of it. Overall, 43 carries for 118 yards. You had some losses during the sack. So really, overall, 91 yards on the day, 2.1 average. Why do they keep running the ball up the middle, Jeff?
Well, Jay-Z, if I knew the answer to that question, I'd have had a lot more money, right?
Right. Well, I do believe there is a reason. And it's to set up other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them, the stuff that's working a little bit to the outside wasn't working great, but it was at least, keeping the offense on the field. Wasn't up the middle, obviously. But you have to keep using that so that other stuff opens up, because what they'll do is they'll migrate out there, and the next thing you know, that's being stopped too. And then you go try to run it up the middle, which they knew how to stop very well, and now they're shutting down everything you're doing.
Well,
so that's why you take Peppers and you have him do that little clap. You know where he's going with it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You're doing that because you're hoping that you can take one of those that might get 2 or 3 yards,
and,
it turns into 20 yards.
Yeah, we can talk about Jabril later and the use of the Wildcat or the just ineffectiveness of it all, and I would have liked to seen him on an end around and a jet sweep, get him in space and use him in other ways to use his talents in space and find other ways to utilize him. But the running up the middle, you're right. I think it was there to set up other things in the offense to maybe, you know, loosen the wheels of that Ohio State defense in the middle of the line. And they thought that if they go back to it enough, Davion was running pretty hard earlier in the game, right? And they felt that they kept going to it at some point, that Ohio State defensive line would loosen, and it didn't happen. This is a game, it's a cliche, but it is always one in the trenches, and yards are going to be tough to come by in this game. And they were very hard for Michigan. For Davion, finished with 60 yards, only a 16-yard long on the day.
Right.
But, you know, Ohio State's defensive line, I looked at them earlier in the week for Inside the Huddle prep with Mike, and that's a defensive line that it's good. It's not great by Ohio State standards. I mean, they have Nick Bosa on the edge.
Right.
They have good defensive end players. But, you know, I also don't think Michigan expected to be shut down by Raekwon McMillan. Ohio State's linebacker had a really, really good game. He was not allowing anything up the middle. Anytime there was a gap, either it was closed or he was there to meet them. So give credit to the Ohio State linebacking core as well. I think that was another reason why Michigan struggled.
Right, and the one thing on the rushing game that I should mention is the Devion Smith, the one that was a pick six.
Yep.
He missed, he whiffed, he went to the wrong hole, and because of that, the guy was able to get inside and knock Spate's arm just enough for the pick six to happen.
You did see it on the replay too. You look at Davion, I mean, the camera's going downfield. He goes forward like he might go up for a route. He panics. He turns. I mean, there's clear confusion for Davion in the play.
Yeah, Malik Hooker with the pick six, which is where Michigan was at the time. I'm glad they rebounded very well from that. You thought, uh-oh, this might be, you know, especially that stadium. They start rocking the place. We saw it in Iowa. All of a sudden, Michigan starts forgetting what they're supposed to do and start thinking about what they're supposed to do, and then we go the other way with it, and They did very well after that happening.
All things considered, that's a crowd where you do not want that crowd. I mean, that can be a hornet's nest. You do not want that crowd to get jazzed up. And unfortunately for Michigan, especially in the second half, I did think that they started to have an effect in a way or get into Michigan's psyche a little bit. And Michigan, you're right, started to maybe outthink themselves. But we're talking offense, and on the whole, it was good, but again, they had their chances, and you can't settle for field goals in the fourth quarter. They had 0 points in the third quarter. You can't settle for field goals in this game. You have to punch it in, whether it's the interceptions from Wilton, the fumble on the goal line. I mean, Michigan left a lot out there in the field that could have gone up on the scoreboard, and it didn't.
All right, let me ask you two quick questions. First one, who was the player of the game for Michigan in the Ohio State game?
I would say Taco Charlton.
Okay.
I would say defensively for what he did for Michigan in this game. I mean, Mike tweeted out, he said, Taco is earning himself future money in this game.
Right.
And I think that was very, very true. I mean, he was just a force in this game, and he was a really big reason for why the defense had the success they did, limiting Weber, limiting Barrett. Taco finished 9 total tackles. 2.5 sacks in this game, 3 tackles for loss. I think his career total now is up to, I think, 8 now. I have to go check the archive. But outstanding game from Taco Charlton. And in a game like this where it goes to double overtime, I just got the feeling that the defense is going to hold Ohio State, but it's like water against a levee, right? It's only going to hold for so long before they burst through, and that's what happened. The offense needed to put some distance between themselves, and they didn't. The offense just, there's no other way to say it. They failed Michigan in this game. While the defense was excellent, the offense did not do enough and did not take advantage of the field position and the opportunities they were given.
All right, what about you over there on the other side of the glass? Mark Missler, giving you a bunch of M names today. Go ahead. Who was your player of the game yesterday?
I'd probably have to say it'd been Khalid Hill.
Yeah, for the touchdown.
That's a good one.
I mean, he's not a big enough force really on the team, but I mean, he did come up clutch with the 2 touchdowns that he had. I mean, you really could kind of go anywhere on the offensive side of the ball, for that matter. Defensively, I think I would agree with Jeff. I think Taco Charlton definitely could have been the player of the game as well. But I'd also say Kenny Allen as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's who I would have said. But
five or six punts inside the 20-yard line out of his seven punts that he had, five or six inside the 20.
A 67-yard long punt, too. Just outstanding.
Only one of them went for a touchback. Stellar punting game for Kenny Allen.
Yeah, that's who I would have said it would be my player of the game. And I know you don't always want to be that kicker, but you don't want to be the Ohio State kicker after you miss the second one.
Shank eponymous.
It was Twitter was like, man, they just got his family killed. And it was that bad. But he finally made it up. And I was kind of happy to see him make that one, not because of the game, but just to see he won't be that guy that has to move out of Ohio and never can come back.
Yeah, we know all about Ohio State fans and their overreactions to thing, and I really had a feeling that if he missed that final field goal, there would have been some death threats on his life.
I'm sure there was already some, and some people then wrote, sorry, thanks for helping us.
That tweet was deleted.
Yeah, what a game, though. It was what a great game, and I know it's hard for us coming out in the wrong side of it. And then, Jeff, you said it the best, with Penn State, Wisconsin.
I think I said disgustingly disappointing.
Like, that's not what the Big Ten wants. No one wants that. Like, Penn State should be lucky. They're happy they got there. Ohio State had that one game where they just forgot how to play and put a team away. And,
yep.
and because of that, Penn State's going to the Big Ten championship.
And when it all shakes out, Jay-Z, and you think about this, boy, that Iowa loss now, right?
That
Michigan suffered. I mean, think about how the impact that would have had. I think Michigan would have still clearly been in the 14 playoff. They lose that game to Iowa. They lose this game. And just crazy to think that both the teams that Michigan beat, and they beat Penn State by damn near, was it 40 points?
Yeah.
That they're going to be the East representative. That did make me feel a little bit sick.
Yeah, no, definitely it did with me, too. Just to see how bad. I remember coming in here and just laughing at how bad Penn State was at the time. Well,
they got the last laugh.
Yeah, they definitely do, and they'll be playing for a spot to go in the college football playoff. Ohio State, they're already in, it looks like. I mean, how can you be a number two and say, all right, well, you were great, and after next week they're not playing, so they don't have to win or loss. The worst they can do is drop a little bit where, yeah, it really sucks to be a Michigan fan seeing a Penn State go and have a chance to further themselves. Ohio State sits home, and they don't have to do anything. And more likely, they'll be in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And the only way, yeah, it's one of those, yeah. Like...
And both the teams that Michigan beat are right in the Big Ten championship game.
How's that work? I don't know. But all right, let's go to our first break. When we come back, we do have a media guest. It's a guy by the name of John Eubank, and I don't think he's ever been heard on this station before. New guy. And then also, we'll take calls from you. You're listening to WTK's Playground.